Welcome back to another episode of Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and I am so excited that I am joined today by Ann and Steve Dunham, who are our first co-guests, co-Get to Know Grace guests. I'm still trying to figure out the right phrase, but we'll get there, maybe by the end of the episode. So excited to sit with you both. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm looking forward to our time together. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you such thanks for your presence among us this evening, for your presence in the lives of Anne and Steve, your presence in the loved ones, in the moments, in the memories that they share together and that they share with Grace Lutheran Church. Bless this time together. Bless our sharing. Bless our laughter. Bless our time as we learn a little bit more about the way you've been at work in Steve and Anne's life. Bless those who are listening. Bless all those who are taking in these stories. Help us all to have open ears, open hearts for all that Anne and Steve have to share this evening. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's just jump into it. I'm smiling so much under my mask. I hope you can see it in those crinkling eyes.
In your eyes.
Yeah. We're all smizing like crazy. Thank you, Tyra Banks, for that. That word, which was coined forever ago. Anyways, I'm already getting off track. We're here to talk about you two and your traveling, journeying with Grace Lutheran Church. So first, let's start off. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what makes up Anne and Steve, and what you would like to share with the greater church.
All right. I will go first.
Ladies first.
A little bit about me. Mm-hmm. I was born in Minnesota, and have all kinds of family back there. Was adopted by my parents. And then my dad's first act as an ordained pastor was to baptize me. So that's always been a special part of my journey.
Yeah, that's adorable.
So then we were right away called to a church in Oregon where we were for about 5 years. And then we're called to Grace. So I've been here since I was a 5-year-old. And so a long time. But so I grew up at Grace.
Yes.
I was going to retreats before I was 6-7 years old, because my dad would bring the whole family. We would just go, my mom would go. And so that was always, just always a special part. And it was even more special when I was going as a youth then too.
Yeah.
But it was always part of family and fellowship and so many relationships. Everybody knew me always, which wasn't so as a shy child. It was not always. It was like, oh, okay. I'd say hi. I don't know who you are, but you know me. I think it's everybody knew me, but everybody knew my family. But it was also welcoming and wonderful because you were just part of a family. It just was a community, and relationships were very, very important.
Yeah.
But I decided to go away to college because I was kind of done. I was ready to be independent. I was ready to be out from under my parents for a while.
Yes.
But I went to Minnesota, which was still home because I had family there, so I had a backup. Went away to school, went to Concordia. Shout out to Concordia Moorhead.
Yes.
But then I became a teacher and came home because really, Washington was home. Grace was home. I was ready to be back with my nuclear family again, and came back and got back into life at Grace, and started substituting until I could find a job. And that's about where I'll stop, because then this one can tell his story up until that point. And then we can say,
fair enough. Then
our journeys join.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
And I would say mine is a slightly different story. Sort of the local boy who grew up on the north side of SeaTac Airport and moved to the south side. So I haven't seen as much of the world as Anne has. But But I like to say that my first exposure to church was in third grade. Some family friends invited us to their Methodist church in Burien, and it just has forever changed my life. I just we prayed as little children, but I really just became closer to God there. And I loved the atmosphere there. I felt like right away, you could just tell all the other kids were just so much nicer than at school. There was uplifting music and services, and I have to say there's several Sunday school teachers and youth leaders there that I remember to this day that have made an impact on my life. So when we talk about giving, when we've been at things, they've said, how did you learn to give? And I just, a special story for me, it was at Sunday school. We passed the plastic church bank and put our coins in every week.
Yeah.
But on your birthday, there was a plastic birthday cake.
Oh.
And you got to go up in front of everybody and put a coin in for every year age you were. And I feel like those were the first steps of the joy of giving. So.
Yeah. Maybe we should do that for adults.
I know.
That's great.
Oh.
We can have one every Sunday.
I love it.
So that was in the Methodist church, and then I do remember a friend of mine invited me to his vacation Bible school in sixth grade, and I mean, they both were great experiences, but I just remember that in particular place, we were invited to invite Jesus into our heart and really dedicate our lives to him, and I just took it really, really serious and just felt so different, just very, very special. So move forward years and graduated from college, and I came home. Lived in my first apartment just down the hill on Kent Des Moines Road, and I was reading the local newspaper that this church in Des Moines was started a contemporary worship service. And I just read this little tiny article, and I knew right away it was something I wanted to check out.
Yeah.
So a few days later, I went, and a few days later, I got this call from the gospel choir leader and his wife, and they asked if they could come visit me in my apartment.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my, what have I gotten myself into? But Dave and Holly came, and they were just like super nice, and eventually they invited me to sing in their choir, and there was just a bunch of great young adults that it was just really special years for me at Grace starting out here. So I remember when I started going here, one Sunday in particular, I was hesitant about telling people that I worked in the gambling and horse racing industry at Long Acres. I just thought that might not go over so well with the church people. But during announcements that Sunday, they said, I learned that this young adult group was going on an outing to the racetrack. And I just immediately felt like I was in the right place and that I was going to be really comfortable here. And so about a year later, I joined the church. And I remember Pastor Mark Court asking our new member of class if there was anyone there who would like to be baptized. And I had felt God close to God for a long time, but I was also sort of embarrassed that I had never been baptized.
Mm.
And I remember my mom said she asked the Methodist pastor that they did total submersion, and he didn't feel like it was right for younger children. So it really just never happened until this opportunity came up. So I was baptized as a new member and felt like, okay, I'm officially part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And it's been one thing after another. I just love Grace, and I think most people that know me know that, but a couple other things I thought about was Pastor O'Neill invited me to go on a young adult retreat to Holden Village, which is this beautiful snow-covered village up in the very remote and
yes.
a very quiet, peaceful community where you live in the basics and simplicity of life. And I just felt like there was a lot of grounding there. So I thought about staying there for a while, but I had a job, and so it never happened.
Details.
Yeah, just mundane details.
So we did this annual retreat to Holden Village as a young adult for 3 or 4 years. And one day, John and Debbie O'Neill were there. And Debbie comes to me and says, I think you might want to get to know Ann Marquardt. And I said, I think she was trying to be a bit of a matchmaker. But I said, well, where is this Ann? Why don't I know her? And she said, well, she's away at college right now, but I think she's coming home soon.
There's a slight age difference between the two of us.
Fair enough, yeah.
Just a small one, that's it.
So I had time to ponder this, but it did worry me a little bit. I just thought, oh, if we got into this relationship that didn't work out, I might be looking for a new church.
No kidding. Church dating is always stressful because of that. Absolutely.
And side note,
yeah.
my dad was a huge matchmaker. I mean, like, he was trying to make matches all over the church. I mean, like, it was crazy.
I love it.
But hands, no way was he going to do that for me. Uh-uh.
No, different rules.
No. Yeah. So, you know, we just enlisted a different...
He set up coffee after church with one or two young women.
And I tried to set him up with other people. So,
sure.
I asked about his daughter, and he was right away. Oh, no, she does her own. She handles her own affairs.
The matchmaking was just outsourced to Debbie instead.
Yeah.
So Debbie's always gotten the credit for our...
Absolutely.
For our wedding and our family. And so anyway, long story short, it worked out very well, and we're here after 30 years of marriage. So.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just always like to tell people that Grace has just been this incredible place to raise our son and our daughter here. And I love telling people we're thankful for this village. Mm. We truly feel like all the people that have had a part and being positive role models and influences on our kids' lives. So. So anyway, the only other thing I really wanted to add is just most Sundays when I come, and especially when I was younger, I just always admired people that were just a little older or a lot older than me. Mm. Just always liked seeing where they were in life and how we as a community celebrate the triumphs and the woes that we talked about just this last Sunday. We're here for each other. And after losing my brother at a very young age and becoming an only, I'd lost my only sibling, there were just people that brought so much comfort, and so to be able to do that for each other, just I feel like we're here for a reason. So
yeah, absolutely. I love that so much. All of that. Thank you for sharing all of that. Oh my gosh, I could just sit here and listen to you both tell stories all day. So thank God we're not done yet. This is so good. Oh my gosh. Well, if that's about what you wanted to share for that first one, should we jump into the second question? Let's do it. Okay, so second question. How did you first come to Grace? And some of this was you already talked about, but elaborate if you want. How and when did you first come to Grace? And what keeps you coming back?
And I think that's where we kind of told our how we got here. I mean, I came as a small child and, as daughter of a pastor.
Yeah.
But what kept us coming back is that it was our family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's our second family, it's just, this is a place where we have so many relationships, so many connections, somebody always has your back, somebody always there for you to, sometimes it was, I can remember, and I'm trying to remember, I was emotional one Sunday, even in a pew, something going on with my family, and it's just like there was a prayer for somebody in my family, and just a hand on my back, and it's like I didn't even know who it was.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I mean, there's just always a supportive system of people and just caring, and just and for our kids as well.
Yeah.
It was and is a great place to raise a family. Just the programs and the people and just all of that combined. And just a heart for missions. Mm. I mean, like, I was able to go on two Mexico mission trips and then one trip to Guatemala. Yeah. But just that heart for missions and world hunger and reaching out, but yet also the community as well. I mean, just all of those things together, it just blows your mind sometimes you think about it. But yeah, it's our family. It's just a place to come home to.
Yeah.
Then we were like everybody. We were so thankful during this pandemic. If we went 2 or 3 weeks during the summer without going to church, it was just like it felt so good to be back here. And so for us to go months and months, we were so grateful that the technology allowed us to at least be...
Absolutely.
Watch it home on Sunday morning and just see the comments pop up and just seeing names we knew. And
Well, to have the talent, I mean... There's a lot of talent and a lot of technology and a lot of things that other churches would not even be able to support just because of that.
Yep.
And just that we are blessed with so many talented people that can make that happen. I mean, I have an inkling of the hours and hours and hours that one 45-minute time thing takes.
Yeah.
And it just is. And to be producing it wonderfully. I mean, it was also fun to kind of visit in on, because it's like I know different pastors around the country almost.
And yes.
It was fun to listen in on different types of services or different ways that people were handling it.
Yeah.
And it's like, we were so blessed to have as much as we do and did.
Yes. Yes. There's so much that was set up prior to COVID without even realizing that we would need it for COVID that ended up being a blessing. Like the entire sound booth and being able to do stuff through that and having our whole space, like our whole sanctuary to record from different places, and we could set up like all of both place and people power, like the people power to pull off a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I always feel like it's unfair because I'm on screen for like way more of the time than I am proportionate putting effort into like a Sunday. Like the people who are putting in more effort and time on a Sunday are not the people who are on the screen. It's Colin, right. Our tech folk, and Colin and Brandon, our tech guys, and prior to them, you know, just the whole tech team of getting all of that figured out and up and running. Like it's an amazing feat of multiple people who we don't even see on screen, and it boggles my mind every week, and it's a total blessing. It is.
And then the continued blessing for people who are like either traveling or live elsewhere. Or are shut in and cannot, to just have that now, it's just, you know, it's amazing. Because you think of all the people who weren't ever able to worship together before. And now it's like, because of this mess that we're in with COVID.
Yes.
Look for the, silver lining. Because there have been many things. Yeah. And you just keep finding them, and it's like, wow.
We just heard the other week from Judson Park, the chaplain who works there. She streams our services every Sunday. And we didn't even know she'd been doing that. But we have so many residents of Judson Park who are members who can't come in either because of COVID or other physical things going on that they just can't get here on a Sunday morning. We have so many members there. She just streams it as a like a reminder of who your people are and who your pastors are, which I so appreciate. We had no idea until she emailed us because she had a technical problem one Sunday and it was something on our end. It wasn't until she contacted us saying that she had a problem we had any idea. It's amazing. It's just
that's awesome.
And that's just one of the outreach things like you were talking about, Anne, that we now have of being able to be in people's homes in ways we never could before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we got a little sidetracked there, but such is life. It's all for good things. Yes, absolutely. Well, let's jump into the last question, which for longtime listeners or if you've listened to the podcast before, you'll know that part of the reason this podcast is called Get to Know Grace is because we're learning not only about Grace Lutheran Church, but also God's grace active in our lives. So tell us about a time or multiple times or whole seasons, whatever, however it works, times in your life when God's grace made a big impact.
I thought about this one a lot, and I thought I've felt fortunate to be involved in several really fun things here, Sunday school and the Easter egg hunts and just any chance there is to be with other people. But I have to share, and many people that know me, this will come as no surprise, but the biggest ministry that impacted my life here was being involved in our homeless ministry for like over 20 years. And I don't begin to take an ounce of credit for it. I always have to refer to Ellen Hefner, this lady. Her picture hangs in our hallway out here.
Yeah.
Just the feistiest lady in her 70s that you could just ever know. But boy, the most determined. She started bringing homeless men from downtown Seattle out here. And I want to keep this story short, but just some of these guys had helped her when she locked her keys out of her car one day. She was so scared. Here comes these guys that looked a little rough, but they were so helpful and so nice. Something in her heart changed, or something in her told her, these guys need a place to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she asked me one day, and I wasn't married yet. I was very young. I'm downstairs, and she says, hey. She goes, I'm bringing these guys out. She goes, would you spend the night with them one night? And once again, it was probably like when David Holly asked to come to my house. I was like, oh, that was so far out of my comfort zone about spending the night here with strangers.
Yeah.
But I thought about it, and I said, I would be willing to drive to drive for you. Go downtown and get these guys and bring them here.
Yeah.
I just wasn't quite ready to spend the night. But after that very first trip downtown and brought them back, these were just we happened to just get these guys. They were 50 and older, just nice old guys. Some reminded you of your grandpa. They just had stories to tell. They were jovial. I thought they'd be down in the dumps. And I just, my heart changed that I was like, you know what? I can spend the night with these guys. So, and one thing after another just became involved in this program. But Ellen was organizing it all the time. And she was dealing with the people who questioned if we should be doing this and bringing people into our church to spend the night. And she persevered. Anyway, when she did this, I don't know, another 3 or 4 years. And then she passed away one day. And I've never seen the church so packed. The people that turned out for her service, it was truly touched your heart.
Yeah,
she had a servant heart.
A servant heart is exactly right. And so months passed, and we did this season. We were, I don't know, at some point we did it seasonally anyway, the winter months. And so we were like, none of us can do this like Ellen did.
Yeah.
But we got together and said, what if we divide her responsibilities up? And so one of us scheduled overnight hosts, one of us did drivers, one of us coordinated people to come cook breakfast. And so I just liked that her legacy like lived on. And I think it's one of the most powerful things that we've gone all over the globe and touched many communities abroad. I've always liked being part of this local ministry in our backyard. And, anyway, I wanted to just share that. And, then I guess the big thing is I've enjoyed the men, but I also enjoy getting to know then all the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And if somebody volunteered to drive for the first time, I always wanted to go with them. I wanted to make sure they were comfortable and answer questions. And I didn't want anybody doing this if they didn't feel like it wasn't for them. So, that was as much as I enjoyed the guys that stayed here, I also enjoyed getting to know so many of our volunteers and people here at Grace. So.
Yeah. I love that you shared Ellen's sort of... the only word I can think of is Genesis, but just the creation of that ministry is, and the moment that sparked it, because I think that's so often the case for a change of heart is just the fear that we think of because someone is what we are assuming they are, whatever that is, whatever stereotype we're falling into, the fear that we feel, so often false, but it's the fear we have to learn, unlearn. And it so often happens that unlearning occurs when we form a relationship with those we fear, of just saying like, oh, you're not actually the boogeyman I've created in my brain. You're not actually the stereotype that whatever source of information has told me that you are, because either the way I was raised or media, whatever it is, you're not the monster I've been told to fear. You're actually a beautiful human being with this great story, this great ability to help an old lady get into her car after she's locked herself out. I'm assuming she was in a part of the city that she was unfamiliar with, because otherwise maybe she could run and find someone to help her with her keys. But she's, you know, we can all imagine what she must have been thinking. And to then have just such a change of heart to move to an entire new ministry. Like, that's just the coolest stuff. I just love that so much, because I think that's exactly where the church does its best work, of just changing hearts through relationship. I love it so much. And look what can come of it. Look at what can come from a change of heart, in a servant heart, in someone like Ellen. That's just...
I just like that. For any of us, when we're long gone, we don't know some little thing we did or maybe some big thing, but for it to go on another 20 years, I just feel like she would be so... It would make her so happy. And in many ways, I felt like she was there, you know, plotting us all along, or cheering us on. And
her spirit lives on in it. Yeah.
And if I could just, along those same
please,
lines, I just
yeah,
had one
please.
Other thought I just
no.
wanted to share that, about that, why I feel like that time, at least my 20 years in this ministry, were so important. Is like, it helped me look at people, homeless or not, just very individually and uniquely, and just to realize we're all based on very different backgrounds and the opportunities we've had along the way, decisions we've made, and who we meet and influenced by along the way. And that goes back to those Sunday school teachers I was thinking about, just had such profound impact on my life. But
yeah.
So you just hope you can, without even realizing that you might be like that for somebody else along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing. That was lovely.
My turn.
Your turn, Anne.
No, go ahead. This was such a good question just to think about, pray about, ponder about, because I feel like God's grace has seen me through so many joys and so many challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you feel like celebrating with it, but also like walking with me, kind of thing. So I think back to retreats. I mean, like, it's the big feeling moments, but it's also sometimes the day by day things too. So it was like, it was retreats and missions. My dad's illness, the first big one, just being there. My journey with multiple sclerosis has, especially in the beginning when I was so unsure and not sure of what the future was going to hold. But most recently, and I think in my life, has been in my career the last 2 years. Just thinking, I really started my first teaching job, Debbie O'Neill again. She has a hand in it.
Yeah.
She offered me a job because it was August, and the teacher that she had to team up with her to do kindergarten here at church could not. And so she's like, hey, you know, I know you're a young teacher. You know, I've been substituting, looking for something. I've been looking for something in the public schools. It wasn't happening. The job market was crazy. And I was like, yeah, but I have to tell you that I am pregnant and due in April. So I was like, you can have me from now to now. You know, so I'm like, okay, full disclosure.
Yeah.
But I loved teaching with her, and I loved being able to teach in a Christian kindergarten and just share the gospel and just teach Easter, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful about 10 years. Beautiful, wonderful. Then I decided, and it kind of, fate decided too, because kindergarten became more of a all-day thing in the public schools, and so the need for it here at the private arena, you know, diminished, so my job was kind of disappearing anyway, but I also felt the need to, you know, I need to move on. My kids are in school now. I can do a few other things. So now, it's like I've had to, throughout my teaching career after that, I've had to kind of find how to be a Christian in the public school. Mm-hmm. And that's been a journey, because it's like for 10 years, just being able to just say and be and speak out, you know, my faith. Now I have to do it and it's the whole, you know, we are Christians by our love.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, you know, I am going to show them, not by saying it, not by telling it, because I can't do that. I mean, that's you know, I'm not able to do that. But yet I can show you.
Yes.
And it's been amazing. And these last 2 years especially have been most challenging with pandemic and teaching online and just falling into that. But I teach at a really high poverty school, a really diverse school, love it. But these are kids of trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, they are kids of trauma. They've been through, I don't even know what half of them have been through, really.
Yeah.
Lots of recent immigrants, so you know, they're coming from Afghanistan, or they're coming from war-torn places. They're fleeing from places. I also have kids, you know, that don't know where their next meal necessarily is coming from, or who's going to be home, or how many people are in the house, or, you know, all kinds of traumas that, you know, had never affected me in my lifetime. I mean, they've gone through some things. And all kinds of different religious backgrounds. I mean, I have religious kids in my classroom.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong at all.
Right.
But it's like, it's a lot of Muslim, it's a lot of other, you know, but yet I'm like, you know what, we share it too.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk about it, they're like, oh, you know, and because like we talk about prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, just because a lot of them do it, and we talk about different holidays, and it's like we talk about light, and we talk about celebration, and we talk about community and family, and it's just, it's been a joy to kind of bring Christ to them in a Christian way without, you know, without actually saying it, but yet doing it and being it.
Yes.
And I guess that has been, it's just amazing to me how it's like just through relationship. And we talk about that at school all the time, even not in a religious way, but we talk about those relationships that we're trying to form and trying to form as a community, how much they can help those kids to then eventually learn. Because it's like we're fulfilling so many other needs before any of that learning happens.
Right. Right.
Exactly. There's the basic ones first.
Exactly.
So yeah, that for me has been like, okay, you know, how can God's grace work through me?
Yeah.
In this way.
Oh, so, love that. Yeah. I love the interfaith dialogue that's happening in your classroom.
It is with my 6-year-old.
With your 6-year-old.
I teach first graders, but
that's amazing. Yes. Because I love when this happens anytime you're talking cross, whether that's cross culturally or cross religion or cross whatever.
And it's a lot of everything.
It's a lot of everything.
It's like it's cross, you know, it's socioeconomic.
Yes.
Even, there's,
And you really, anytime, even if you're speaking the same words, the language stuff, all the stuff that happens around language, you have to boil it. All the stuff that happens in religion and culture, there's something about having to boil belief and faith down to like the least common denominator, not because it's least, like bad English words there, but the least common denominator of we're all human, we're all trying to find the best in life, we're all trying to better ourselves and better our communities, and we get there through relationship and love. And like,
we need to be kind and love each other.
Yes, yes.
This is it.
And if that's not the Ten Commandments, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
If that's not Christ's message.
You know, it just is, you know.
Yeah.
Who am I to say I'm exactly right? Either,
right.
You know, it's like, okay, we're all here to take care of one another. And, you know.
And I have to think that even if there is only one religion in the world, and I don't think that Christianity is it, but if there is only one true way to worship God, however God shows up, I have to think that the Creator who created us all would want us all to take care of each other in some way and to love each other no matter what, because they created us. We wouldn't want the things we create, the people we create, the world we create to just self-destruct like that.
Take care of each other and take care of the earth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, there's our job.
Exactly. And I have to think that me following Christ, following the Gospels, us following Christ, following the Gospels, still brings life and joy and pride to whoever that being is that we call God. But it's just so cool to then think about that there are these other ways to be connecting with Creator, to be connecting with the world and each other. I think
Absolutely.
That's just beautiful. Well, this just filled my cup right up. Oh my gosh. This has been lovely. Thank you both so much for sharing all of this. Is there anything else you want to add on before we sign off here?
I just one last thought I would like to.
Of course. No, I love it. Listeners, you can't see this, but I have to say that both Anne and Steve came prepared with notes, and I just want to make sure that we hit everything you prepared. Believe me, everyone does. Everyone who's done this podcast come with notes. Absolutely. But I want to make sure we hit all the stuff that you thought about before. So please, Steve, go ahead.
So just in the area, many you may or may not know, but like Pastor John asked me 7 or 8 years ago if I would be the new financial giving secretary, and just keep track of what people give and how that affects us as a church. And so anyway, I just the work I put into it is so minimal compared to the joy I get out of just seeing the financial generosity that exists amongst us. And I mean, the big gifts and the small gifts, just knowing what it takes to keep grace, you know, flourishing successfully, keeping our lights on and heating and running all of our great ministries. So that it's so important. And then the one thing I've thought, two big questions have come along to me in my life. When we had been married about 10 years ago, we went to this marriage encounter retreat. And one of the most powerful parts of that weekend was we listened to this song called If Tomorrow Never Comes, you know, will she know or will he know I loved her? And yeah. We had to write. We went separately and then wrote to each other about what if tomorrow ever comes, what do you want your spouse to know about your love? And so that was one. And then the last question was, I was involved in a stewardship drive a few years ago. We called it Celebrate the Promise. But as we were going through some of the materials there, one of the questions that just came up was, how would your life be impacted if grace no longer existed? Mm. And so much to ponder there. So my prayer is that what was started here many, many years ago before us,
yes.
Will continue to grow and serve for many years to come. So.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent place to end it. Thank you, Steve. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, that we continue doing what God's called us to do.
Absolutely.
On this corner, in this community, yes, with these people.
Amen.
Yes. Well, with that, dear listeners, we're going to wrap it up. But thank you so much for listening, for joining us again this week. Tune in next week. We'll have another Get to Know Grace guest, and it promises, like always, to be another great time of storytelling and relationship building. So join us, and we'll see you next week. Go with God's grace, go with God's spirit, go with God's love in all things.